We now move into the 16th chapter. And in the first part of this 16th chapter, we're going to see where the man Ziba cheats David. That is, he uses David for his own bad purposes. And he deceives David into giving a judgment in his favor, which goes against Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. So beginning in verse 1 of chapter 16, "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine." So here's the situation. Earlier, when David had sought to make Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, comfortable, when he had sought to carry out his vow that he'd made with Jonathan, that he would take care of his household, he discovered that he had one son, Mephibosheth, who was lame in his feet. And he also discovered this one faithful servant of the house of Saul, Ziba. And so he gave the inheritance of Saul to Mephibosheth, but he appointed Ziba and his sons to be the manager of it. They were to be the servants that took care of this property. Well, now we see Ziba has an eye on wanting to take all this property away from Mephibosheth, wanting to have it all for himself so that Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, doesn't have any, and he seizes upon this opportunity. He finds David in a hard position here. He's out in the desert. He is without adequate provision, and so he brings him provision. He gets on the good side of David, and then he gets David to give a rash judgment against Mephibosheth in order to give Ziba the gain. So that's the situation. So David was a little past the top of the hill, and so here comes Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth. He has a couple of asses saddled, and upon them were 200 loaves of bread, 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, "What meanest thou by these?" And Ziba said, "The asses be for the king's household to ride on." Now he's explaining what he brought them for. "I've come to help you in a time of need. The asses are for your household to ride upon. Here you've been walking. You've been walking even without shoes, barefooted, in a deep state of grief and remorse and shame. But now I've provided something for you to be able to ride on. The bread and summer fruit are for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink." So he brought the wine not to be consumed by David or by any who would do it for pleasure or merrymaking, but he brought the wine for medicinal effects, for those that were faint in the wilderness. They could use it to help sustain their strength. The bread was to eat, the summer fruit was to eat, and the ashes then were for the king's household to ride upon. So you can see how that David, in the severe strait that he's in, would certainly appreciate having this gift from Ziba, this food and these animals to use. It would be quite a thing to help sustain them in the desert. And we also see that Ziba knows how to, at a very appropriate time, make his play, come to David to catch him at a very weak moment. He's here fishing in troubled waters, trying to gain his own ends, and he is successful at it. Verse 3, "And the king said, And where is thy master's son?" So David inquires of Mephibosheth. Where is he? He was the son of Jonathan and the grandson of Saul, and so that would make him the master's son, Saul being the master of Ziba. So David asks where Mephibosheth is. Now we're going to see where Ziba is moving in at the very opportune time to deceive David to gain his own ends. "And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father." So he tells David that Mephibosheth has eyes on the throne, that he's going to try to seize upon this opportunity when David and his son Absalom are contending about the throne. He's going to try to seize upon this opportunity to move in himself and become king himself, that he then would have some kind of a claim as a rightful descendant to the throne. Well, you can see how that this would go against David. David didn't need any more competition for the throne. He didn't need anyone else to try to interfere. He had his hands full with Absalom. But that's what Ziba tells him. Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. So this would be very greatly upsetting to David. And you can see how that if David believed this and knew that it was true, that it would cause him to have a rash action. However, David did not check enough to really find out if this story were true. He just takes Ziba's word for it, and he only listens with one ear. He should have used the other ear to listen to the other side of this, because every story has two sides. He should have heard what Mephibosheth had to say about it, if this were really a true action or not. But because he just believes what Ziba tells him, then he gives forth with a rather rash act in verse 4. Then said the king to Ziba, "Behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth." So he is now, in a very rash moment, transferred all the property that belonged to Mephibosheth, all the inheritance that he got from King Saul. He's now transferred it to Ziba. Thine are all that pertain to Mephibosheth. Well, you can see how this is exactly what Ziba wanted. This is playing right down his alley. This is going right into the things that he has been working for, that he's been desiring for so long, the things he's been striving for. And so Ziba said, "I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my Lord, O King." So he gives David a very high compliment here. He indicates that he certainly is going to be faithful to David, that he wants to find grace in his sight, and he is most appreciative of what the king has done. Of course, David at this time thinks that he's probably done the right thing, because he is believing that Mephibosheth is trying to compete with him for the throne, for the crown. And we will find, though, that later, when David does learn the truth of the matter, that he's ashamed of what he's done in the 19th chapter of 2 Samuel. So here's a case in which David allowed himself to be helped by Ziba when he was in a time of need. He allowed himself to be flattered by Ziba, and consequently he made a judgment against Mephibosheth, which really should not have been made, because he was basing his action on false information that Ziba had passed on to him. Now to move into verse 5 of this 16th chapter, we see another situation that is quite interesting. We have here a man named Shimei who curses David. This man lives up in the area of the tribe of Benjamin, and apparently he has been a very close friend to Saul. And then whenever Saul died and was no longer king, this man looked upon David as being one of the prime causes of Saul's downfall. And so he has a lot of hatred toward David, because as long as Saul was king, he had the benefits of being close to the king. But now that David has been king, he has lost all of that, and so he's held this hatred in his heart all this time against David. Well, while David was king, he didn't dare curse David. But now that David is apparently being deposed from the throne and no longer having that much power, he feels free to come out and openly curse David. So we're going to see where he curses David right to his face. And David seems to take the cursing quite well. He doesn't really rebel against Shimei for doing this. And so we see then how that he takes Shimei's curses much better than he had taken Ziba's flatteries. By Ziba's flatteries, he was brought to pass a wrong judgment on another. But by the curses of Shimei, he was brought to bring a right judgment on himself. So we see how that sometimes the smiles of the world are more dangerous than the frowns of the world. We're going to close at that point. Until next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.